In Shmos, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yud Ches, we are told about the Krushim and how they were put up. The boards were put up as part of the construction and then deconstruction, the taking apart of the Mishkan. And the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kuf Gimel, Amar Aleph, is also quoted in the Talmud Yerushalmi, Masechta Shabbos in Perek Yud Beis. Tell us what we're familiar with, that they had to keep track of which board went where, because its location had to be permanent. They had to keep them together. It's kind of a puzzle piece. And because they were taking the Mishkan apart and rebuilding it back and forth throughout the time in the desert, so they wrote little marks, the letters on the boards in order to know that, you know, this aleph went with that aleph, this bet went with that bet, etc. And this, says the Mishnah, says the Gemara Yerushalmi, is the source for the prohibition of writing on Shabbos. This is the Makor. We know that the 39 Malachos come from the building of the Mishkan. So this is where writing was in the building of the Mishkan. They used to keep track of the placement of the boards. So that is the basis of writing. And in theory, we could give a whole shiur all about the halachos of writing on Shabbos. But I thought we would give a shiur not about writing, but about one of the halachos, mirabanan, which Chazal say are a gzeira that emerge from the Isser d'oraisa of writing. And that is as follows. The Gemara Masechta Beitza, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, says that you're not allowed to do business on Shabbos. Not allowed to buy and sell. Gemara does not talk about muktzo or money or anything of the like, but rather the Gemara gives the explanation that the reason is because we're worried it's a gzeira that you'll write a receipt or you'll write a contract or something like that. That typically these kind of commercial sales involve, these actions involve writing. The Mara also mentions the prohibition of getting married on Shabbos, and this seems to be part of the reason as well. If you take a look at Rashi there in that Gemara, so Rashi says one explanation is the one I just gave, Xeira, because it could lead to writing, and then Rashi also mentions that there's an idea Mirabanan, also from the Navi, the Pasuk says Mimtso Cheftzacha, which is the basis of the Isser Derabanan of doing things which are Dvarim Shel Chol. So you're not supposed to talk about or involve yourself in practices which are considered characteristic weekday activities. So that's another possible reason why business or even the marriages, but certainly a possibility, as Rashi quotes in understanding the Gemara, is where anything that might typically lead to writing should be avoided, prohibited on Shabbos. Rashi says both ideas. The Gemara Shabbos Daf Kuf Mem Ches Amar Aleph also gives examples of certain cases of borrowing and lending, which are usur because of the same gzeira. That it's typical that you would write a contract, a receipt, a little IOU, put it in your wallet. Things which are associated with writing should be avoided. These halachos are codified by the Rambam in two places. The Rambam talks about this in Hilchos Shabbos in Perek Chav Gimel, as well as in Hilchos Mechira in Perek Lamed. The Rambam says there's an Isser Derabanan to buy and to sell, to lend and to borrow, or even to give gifts. Any of the three ways. You're lending someone, you're giving it to them, or you're selling it to them. In all these cases, it is prohibited on Shabbos, and the implication is that at least part, if not the primary reason, has to do with the gzeira that these things are connected to writing. As an aside, the kinyan, the transaction, is still valid. It doesn't negate that, says the Rambam, but nevertheless, it is still prohibited to business, lending, these kinds of things. So what about gifts? Gifts seem to be a big machlokas, and this is really what I would like to focus the attention of the shiur on. You guys are in yeshiva for the year. Very typically, I hope, you get invited out. Either you get invited out on off Shabbos, or even if you're on an in Shabbos, you might get invited out for a meal. So I hope that your parents taught you that it's appropriate when you get invited out to perhaps bring a gift. It could be flowers, wine, chocolate. When the Shana Bet guys came a few weeks ago to my house, they brought not only candy, but they brought some kind of game, like Chinese checkers or something like that. I don't know, some fancy board game. Anyway, so it's nice to bring gifts to people when you go away for Shabbos. Question is, would that not be included under this same Isser Derabanan? It sounds like, from the examples in Chazal, which we say quoted in the Rambam, that anytime there's a transaction, some kind of a kinyan, that would be prohibited on Shabbos, because again, the association with writing things down. So if it's problematic for the lending, if it's problematic for the sales, question is, Is that problematic? Is that included in the prohibition of giving gifts or not? One common example, again, most relevant to you guys, is when you go away for Shabbos. But I imagine that many, if not most, if not all of you, had a bar mitzvah. And when you were bar mitzvahed, when I was growing up in Cincinnati, that was a verb. When you were bar mitzvahed, the rabbi would often, in many shuls, even on Shabbos, or at the end of davening, or for most of, calls up the bar mitzvah boy, and on behalf of the congregation, I want to give you this kiddush cup, or this set of svarim. That just happened to me.
My rabbi didn't.
Ah, okay. So, he said his rabbi didn't give him a gift, dafka, for this reason. Okay, you guys are getting ahead of the whole okay. So we'll have to see. So this is another example of there's a prime example where this issue can come up. Are you allowed to give gifts on Shabbos? So this, unlike some of the other sources that we saw, this seems to be a little bit of a contradiction. On the one hand, there are a number of sources in Chazal, in the Gemaras, which do indicate giving gifts on Yontif. Two very famous examples are in Sukkah, Daf Mem Aleph Amud Beis, has the famous case of the various Chachamim who were on a boat on Sukkis, and they only had one lulav, and it's not enough to borrow a lulav on the first day of Sukkis. Lakachtem lachem, you have to own your own lulav, and therefore the Gemara says that the owner of the lulav shook the lulav and was yotzei his obligation, and he then gave the lulav as a matana almanat lahachzir, a gift, on condition that it will be returned at whatever date or whatever time period the two people agree to. So he said, I give it to you, it's now yours, it's a gift, it's a matana, even though you're going to have to give it back, because there are other, the holiday didn't end after the first day, even though the din of lachem is unique to the first day. And then they gave it to the second guy, to the third guy, to the fourth guy, if I remember correctly. I think there was five chachamim on the boat. I think that was the case. Anyway, the Gemara, the purpose of that Gemara is to teach us the Chiddush, that even though it's a gift that's being given al manat lahachzir, that's still sufficient. That counts as lachem for the mitzvah of dalad minim. But for our purposes, and this is quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Sukkah, Simin Tuf Resh Nun Ches. So you see from the Gemara that people are giving gifts on Yontif. You can't write on Yontif. The general isra of business or the like is also prohibited on Yontif because of the Gzeira. Maybe you'll come to write. And yet, we see that they're giving gifts on Yontif. One example. A second example is Masechta Beitza, Daf Yuzayin Amud Aleph, where it speaks about someone who wants to bake and they don't have flour on Yontif. So you are allowed to give them as a gift. You can give them the flour on Yontif. And Rashi there specifies that the case is talking about a gift. There are Daf Yuzayin in Masechta Beitza. And this is also quoted Lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch, Simin Tav Kuf Chav Zayin Sif Chav. You're allowed to give flour as a gift. Paskins the Shulchan Aruch. Now there's one nuance which we should mention, which is even though the Gemara there is explicit, we paskin it in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to give a gift, the flour, you can give a gift on Yontif. There Rashi though, the Ran on that Gemara says you could give them the gift, but when they take possession of it, they should not use a kinyan sudar. What's a kinyan sudar? So a sudar obviously is literally a handkerchief, but a kinyan sudar is not exclusively limited to a handkerchief, but rather it is taking some other object. Sometimes it's known by chalipin, although chalipin can refer to something else, but sometimes, Mordechai, you're right, the chalipin is also used synonymously with that. We take some object and that is lifted up symbolically as if that's some, like almost like a barter. So it's a big discussion in the Gemara, a famous discussion, whose handkerchief or whose pen. Or I know a rabbi who, when he does the Mechiras Chametz with people, he used to give his yarmulke to the person to lift up. But that's kind of like a symbolic barter. So we generally assume that you use what's called Kelev Shel Kona. The rabbi is acquiring the Chametz on behalf to then sell it to the non-Jew. So he's giving you his yarmulke or his pen or the like. But it's actually machlokas whose it should be. But either way, we have some kind of a symbolic thing which is done. You lift it up, and that's a kind of a gemiras das. That's a firm commitment to make the sale gezeira. It's one of the types of kinyanim that exist in halacha. So says the Ran, even though the Gemara said you could give a person a gift of flour on Yontif, and how do you know that there's not going to be any backsies. How do you know the guy's not going to want his gift back? How do you know you can really use the flowers? You make a kinyan. So says the Ran, it's fine as long as you don't use kinyan suter. It should just be transferred directly miyal liyad. What's the problem with kinyan suter? So the Mishnah Berurah on the Shulchan Aruch who passes this, the Mishnah Berurah also adds that you shouldn't use a kinyan suter, and he says because in business, a kinyan suter is a very common method of kinyan, and therefore it would make this transaction, albeit a gift, too similar to ma'asa umatan, to business. So we want to stay away from the business model. So a gift apparently is different, but you shouldn't give the gift in a way that appears or is resembling the way business is often done. But per se, we have two gemaras, Sukkah and Beitza, both Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, which give examples of gift giving on Yontif. L'cha'ora, this would be a proof that for whatever the reason, even though loans and business are usur, maybe in part because of this gzera, we're worried you're going to come to write. Gift giving, apparently, it seems from these two gemaras at least, would be an exception to that and would be permitted. In fact, a number of poskim paskin this way. Even in general, there's a tshuva sefer called the Binyan Shlomo, and there are commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Meir, Avodas Gershuni, not the most well-known svarim to you probably, but prominent to poskim, part of the Mesorah of Psak, and they, based on these gemaras, paskin, even if it is not necessarily needed on Yontif, even if it's not needed on Shabbos, but you see from these gemaras, the gift giving is allowed on Shabbos and on Yontif. Okay? What's the problem? What's the tension? So the tension is that we have other sources, at least Rishonim and Achronim, who seem to ignore these gemaras and paskin more consistently than we might have expected based on the original paradigm of business and loan. So for example, the Rambam in Hilchos Mechira, I mentioned it before, Perek Lamed, Halacha Zayin, the Rambam there is mashma that all gifts are usur, just like business. The Rambam does not seem to distinguish between business, mekach u'memkar, on the one hand, and matana on the other hand. The Rambam seems to lump all kinyanim together. You can't do a pu'ulas kinyan, you can't do an act of transaction on Shabbos or Yontif, whether it's the money is the least of it, that's not the issue. It's the transaction, the kinyan, that's usually associated with writing. So you shouldn't do that on Shabbos or Yontif for business. The Rambam implies that you can't do it for gift giving either. Not only that, a number of prominent poskim seem to paskin this way as well. So for example, if you take a look on the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avram, Simen Shin Vav, the Magen Avram, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Magen Avram, seem to say that gift giving is Asur on Shabbos. It's a kinyan. Just like other kinyanim are Asur on Shabbos, so too gift giving seems to be Asur on Shabbos. And lest you think that these poskim are just being machmir because of this whole idea of the kinyan sudar, like the Ran, that makes it look more similar to business. So the Ksav Sofer, that's the son of Avram, the son and the successor of the Chasam Sofer, of Avraham Sofer, the Chasam Sofer's son. So the Ksav Sofer in the Tshuva, Or Chaim is Simen Nuntes, he passes it doesn't matter. Bain with a sudar, bain without a sudar, you shouldn't give gifts on Shabbos because of the kinyan, resembles business, you might come to write. It's part of the same gzeira of not doing things that either will lead to writing or look like the kind of things that are associated with writing, and therefore you shouldn't do them on Shabbos. The problem is that this seems to go against the two Gemaras. The two Gemaras seem to say that in fact it was permitted to give gifts on Shabbos. So what is going on? And really, the heart of the sugya, to try to understand why some rabbis gave their bar mitzvah boys gifts on Shabbos, others did not at all, and others gave it to them on Friday and took it back. Where does all that come from? All is basically going to be something that's going to have to emerge, is going to be a product of this tension. We started off by showing the Makoros that there's this concept of gzera, lest you come to write or do things that typically associated with writing, business, loans. We also saw that logically that should have extended to gift giving. Some poskim do extend it. Yeah, we have some gemaras which seem to imply that gift giving is mutter. How do we put that all together? Yeah. think that, I mean, you're thinking, I think, in the sense of like the, you know, when the pilgrims, you know, came to the New World and they, you know, traded, you know, the corn for the wheat. You're thinking of that as somehow, I think, when you say pre, as if that's like pre the modern economy with contracts. But I think from a halachic perspective, I don't think there's any basis to think there was some chronological distinction between when Sudar was a form of a Kenyan and when Shtar was a form of a Kenyan. I don't think that's the case. You know what I'm saying? Yes, Austin.
Two things. One, just quickly. With the show that gives it before, you know, before Shabbos, but then like doesn't really but give it on Shabbos, wouldn't that be Ma'ar HaSayin anyway?
So we'll have to get to that.
And also we learned about Matiyah that like during Morning Seder, that Chalipin is a din Mekkah Mempar, and the Kinyan Agav is a din in Netina, not in Mekkah Mempar, so it's not a problem with Maser. So like, therefore, it made the distinction between Netina and Mekkah Mempar, which the Rambam doesn't say.
Again, I'm not sure the context that you were doing it above Metzia, but for the purposes of our of Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Yom Tov, what the Rishonim, what the Poskim seem to be worried about is, I'm not sure if they would necessarily need the same more formal hagdaros as you were talking about. I'm not sure what you were doing in your shir about Metzia, but here again, I think it's just more what's typically done. Business, again, everyone understands that not every single time you have a transaction do you have to have a receipt or a contract. We all know that. But typically, it's common enough that I think we can use the word typically. When you have a business deal, when you have a you're going to have some kind of a contract. People want to keep a record. They want to have a proof of the money that they paid, of the goods that they received, et cetera, et cetera. So anything that is of a similar vein, even if it's not exactly the same, that is at least ostensibly, it seems like, should be subject or should be considered prone to the same concern and therefore need the same prohibition or gzeira to avoid either the perception or even the worse, the accidental writing of the shtar. After all, if whenever I do this, I usually write it down. If I do it on Shabbos, that could be a problem. So I'm not sure that we would look to that fine chilek that you just mentioned, very fine meaning sense of subtle. I'm not sure that would be relevant to this. So how do we resolve all this? Okay, we have makoros that imply a general prohibition. We have even makoros Rishonim, Poskim, talking about prohibition on Shabbos, and yet Gemaras and Poskim who follow those Gemaras, it seems they get gift giving might be mutter on Shabbos. So what do we do with all this? So if you take a look in the Beis Yosef, Simon Tav Kuf, Chav Zayin, that Beis Yosef, you'll find a treasure. What's the treasure? The treasure is the Shita of the Mordechai. Who is the Mordechai? The Mordechai ben Hillel, was a Chavrusa of the Rush. And he was a Talmud of, who was the Rush's Rebbe? He was Chavrusa of the Rush, they shared a Rebbe. Excellent. Marami Rittenberg. Right, and unfortunately, the three of them all suffered different fates, but they were all similar persecution relating to the Crusades and the like. The Rush had the best of it. He was able to escape from Germany to Spain. Marami Rutenberg, the Rebbe, and even though there were attempts to ransom him in his lifetime, he prohibited the community from doing it because he was worried that if they ransomed him, then they would go after other big rabbis. And it wasn't until after he died that a certain very wealthy person said, I will ransom his body on condition that when I die, I'm buried next to him. And he is. You can see the grave to this very day. And the third one, the other Talmud, the Mordechai, was killed al Kiddush Hashem. So he had one kidnap, one imprisonment, one unfortunately murder, and one escape. So the Mordechai was the third, probably the least well known of the three. So if you look in the back of your Gemaras, in virtually every Masechta, in the back, you'll find the Mordechai. So if you don't want to look in the back of your Gemara, often he's quoted in the Beis Yosef. It's an important source of Ashkenazic halacha. So the Beis Yosef here quotes the Mordechai. You'll find the treasure. What does the Mordechai say? The Mordechai says, usually, it's usur to give gifts on Shabbos, Yom Tov. It doesn't matter what the method is, Kinyan Sudar, not Kinyan Sudar. Usually it's usur, but It is allowed if it's letzorech mitzvah. Okay? It's allowed if it's for the need of a mitzvah. And this is not only a chiddush of the Mordechai, but other Rishonim say it as well. Wouldn't you know it? All the way off in Gittin, in Paraches, one of the other Rishonim who agrees with this Mordechai is the Rosh. His old buddy. His old Chavrusa. Who knows, one day, when you or your Chavrusa will be big famous rabbis, and you know, you'll give a psak, and then you know, at some point later, your old Chavrusa will see that psak, and he'll also, in a different Masechta, in a different shir, you know, he'll come to your aid, and he'll second your notion. So you never know, your emotion, you never know what could happen. So we have the Rosh, the Mordechai, following this, who all say, Letzorech mitzvah, if it's being done for the mitzvah, it would be permitted. Now, if that's true, that actually helps beautifully, because that explains the two Gemaras. What would we say? What was the problem? How could the Rambam and the Magen Avraham and the Mishnah Brura all say unequivocally that gift-giving is Asur on Shabbos? Even though it makes sense, it goes against two Gemaras, the Gemara Sukkah and the Gemara Beitzah. But now we have a beautiful, very simple but elegant resolution. What were the two examples? The rabbis on the ship, what was the gift in question? Letzorech mitzvah. The case in Beitzah with the borrowing of the flour so that you could bake, so you can make bread or challah for Yantif. Again, Letzorech mitzvah. So it works beautifully according to the Mordechai and according to the Rosh. The very Gemaras that permit a person to give gifts, they happen to be, no coincidence, talking about Letzorech mitzvah. So when there's a mitzvah need, then apparently Chachamim were not goes there, they allowed giving a gift. But if it's not for a particular mitzvah need, it would seem that that would be prohibited. This resolution, not only does it have the force of the stature of the Mordechai and the Rosh, but it's actually logical, it's compelling, at least in the sources, and therefore it is picked up on by a number of the later poskim. So if you look in the Magen Avraham and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Mishnah Brura in a number of places, they all quote this idea that you're allowed to give a gift on a Shabbos or Yom Tov if it's for mitzvah purposes. Yes?
What if not?
Get into that, man. But what if not? It sounds like it's prohibited. Now, how do you define mitzvah purposes? Is that your question, Coleman? Mm-hmm. Excellent question, Coleman. How broad, how wide will that categorization be? We'll get to it in a moment. Yes?
Flour case was had on Shabbat.
Yantif.
So you're allowed to bake and
yes, again, the halachos of cooking and baking and so on Yantif are not our topic, but yes, melechas ochel nefesh is mutter. Again, not getting into certain times you need Erev Tavshilin and the like, that's not for now, but that was the context of that Gemara. Yes?
Could we differentiate between Yom Tov and Shabbos?
There are times where we would, certainly in potentially, yes, but I think in this context there's no reason to, just because writing is usher on both, and there's no source that I'm aware of that distinguishes between even these gzeros of don't do this because right. Can't do business on Shabbos, can't do business on Yom Tov either. Yes.
Matan. So, like, leaving the problem, is there like a problem trading baseball cards on Shabbos or something?
I think the answer is yes. That's a cautious chumrah. I like to be more definitive in my kulas. But if I'm going to say something's usher, especially if I wasn't planning on talking about it, so I'll say it more cautiously. Maybe needs to double check. But yes, my instinct is that all, it's not just the suitor thing, but in general, yes, kinyonim are prohibited on Shabbos. Things should not change ownership, it seems, on Shabbos. Again, we're working on it here to carve out some heterim, getting back to the bar mitzvah, getting back to your invitation for Shabbos lunch. But I don't think the trading card heter yet has been, as far as I know, has not been found. So there may be ways, we didn't end the shir yet, there may be ways to get around the problem, but I think at the very least, it could be a problem. Yes, yes. Again, it's any transaction, any kinyan, where something changes ownership, potentially is a problem. Just to give you a pair, yes, I'm sorry, Mati.
Do you mean like you can't play Monopoly or certain board games on Shabbat?
The answer is maybe.
Because it's different, because like, it's not like you're...
But, correct. So the answer is, I'm not sure if you even realized it, but what you said is right, but just for reasons which you might not have realized. That is to say, there are board games that put it on Shabbos if similar now to what we've been talking about, if those are board games which are typically including writing, exactly. So therefore, there are people who don't play various games when they are associated with, you know, keeping a score or writing. There's a separate discussion about fake money, play money. Right? That's, maybe we'll have to give a different shiur on board games on Shabbos. That's too far afield. That was not my intended topic today. But there is a discussion, absolutely. I don't remember which game, so I don't want to quote it, because it would be a problem. But I remember 6 years ago when I was, or 7 years ago, whatever it was, when I was my first year in Israel on sabbatical, talking with Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, Rav Moshe, and him telling me that when, I can't remember why we were talking about this, but when he was a kid, like, he and his friends were the only ones in the neighborhood. His father would not, they were living in Yerushalayim, his father would not allow them to play certain games because of this, because of the gzeira of writing. The Rarnies were very strict about board games that they were not allowed to play. In my mind, I'm thinking of one, but I don't want to say it because I'm not sure. So, who's the least
Scrabble.
Shy one here?
Scrabble.
I think it's Scrabble. I'm saying, whoever the least shy one is, you could go ask Rav Moshe about this. That's what I meant.
Actually, I used to do like a Rice Krispies, like mark off the boxes that we guess. So, if you do that, then like that's a thing you already, like you're used to it. I've never actually played it, not on Shabbos, because who plays board games during the week? So, like,
it's funny, Mike, I'm just trying to mention that very close friends of ours. Great guy, accountant, Ben Torah, was in our neighborhood, just made a bar mitzvah the Shabbos for his second son. And one of the things that was mentioned at the bar mitzvah, the son was thanking his father that even though he's so busy, and a successful professional, and a big volunteer in the neighborhood, not only does he have time to learn with his son every day, the son said, but you even play board games with me every night before I go to sleep. Anyway, but that's the exception that proves the rule. I'm with Mordechai on this one. I don't remember if I've ever played a board game during the week.
Considering most of us don't play Clue on Thursday nights, it's basically in our minds just a Shabbos type of thing. Is it okay to use Rice Krispies?
It's a good question. Again, I'm not ready. Although it sounds like a popular sheer topic would be board games on Shabbos. So maybe that'll have to be another week or a part of our upcoming Hilchos Shabbos series, which maybe for Shanabet or something next year. Well, actually, didn't you know that that Moshe and Miriam as kids used to play board games on Shabbos afternoon? Oh, no. Anyway, all right, let's get back to our topic. These are good questions. They really are. And they're not serious. And they really are serious. And halacha l'maaseh, if you want to know what to do this Shabbos, if you're used to playing a particular board game, so you should talk to me or Rabbi Friedman or Rabbi Schreiber or somebody after the shiur. But for our purposes now, let's move on. But these are definitely good questions. I just want to mention before we get to some of the real practical ways to resolve all this, this is a parallel, a very interesting parallel. The poskim talk about hefker, making something ownerless. Can you just make ownerless and then allow someone else not to take it directly from you, but so to speak, to take it, you know, from hefker? I don't know what, you know, from being completely ownerless. So actually, there's a big discussion in the poskim whether you're allowed to be mafkir, or even if no one else directly takes ownership of it. But there is a change in status. And then go from me to Davy, let's say, but it's no longer mine. So yotza mirushus of the owner. So that's a big discussion. And sure enough, in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tuf Mem Dalid, so they're also a compromised position, which is quoted parallel to what we've just seen, which is that maybe it's permitted when it's Letzorach Mitzvah. So this idea from the Mordechai and the Rush has a number of ramifications and resonance, that when you have something that's being done for a mitzvah purpose, it may be permitted, even though otherwise we'd be worried about the writing thing. So first question is Coleman's question. How broad a category, how much does that apply to, right? You need food for Yontif, the flour. You need to shake the lulav and esrog on Sukkos. Those are like real bona fide mitzvos, needs. Okay, but how broad is that category? So here we get to learn not only a little halacha, but we also get to learn a little history. Because the poskim quote a number of different some practices, which I think have fallen out of favor, but are very interesting, and they give us a window into what was happening. Also, therefore, examples of where the poskim had to apply the things that we've been discussing. So sure enough, the Magen Avram, Simon Shin Vav, Sivkat and Tes Vav, asked the following question. He says there was a minhag in his day, I'm not sure how long before his day, that the chassan would give a drosha in shul by his afruf, and then the community would give him gifts. So they gave gifts to the chassan before his wedding on Shabbos. So the Magen Avraham says, how is that allowed? is in gift giving, and he assumes that gift giving, like the Rambam, is asur on Shabbos. It's a kinyan. So, sure enough, some of the other poskim, later contemporaries of the Magen Avraham, like the Elia Rabba, and even more recently than that, the Aruch HaShulchan, both say that we can apply this category of the Tzorech Mitzvah. What's the mitzvah? So he says, first of all, when you give someone a gift as a result of them having given a drasha, given a Dvar Torah, come to speech class, if you give somebody a gift like that, says the Elia Rabba Aruch HaShulchan, that gift, the gift, is the Tzorech. What's the mitzvah? Lahagdil Torah lahadira. You are encouraging people to teach Torah. You're encouraging people to spread the Torah. When people get positive feedback, when people get gifts, when they get rewarded, right, for having given that speech, given that Dvar Torah, what's it more likely to happen? They give more Dvar Torah, more speeches, and therefore encouraging people giving Dvar Torah, that itself included in the expanded definition of the Tzorech Mitzvah. That's number one. Number two, they add, the Eli Rab as well, there's another mitzvah. This is a little bit shakier, but very intriguing application. There's another mitzvah called Misameach V'chasan. You give them a gift, you know, maybe this is like the makor for like the wedding registries. I don't know if you've had any siblings or that, you know, have gotten married and they sign up, you know, I want the blue milk, I want the blue dishes for the dairy, and I want the green dishes for the meat, and, you know, I want, I don't know, whatever else, and for my man cave, I want, you know, great, you know, speakers, and so that I don't hear my wife when she's asking me to wash the dishes, the blue or the green, I want beets, or, you know, I don't know, whatever it is, and of course, you know, Yobro wants shas, and, right, Tikkunei Zohar, so you can stay out late at night, whatever it is, the gifts, so, you give that person the gifts right before his wedding, he feels, you know, it's a simcha. The simcha for the chassan, in all seriousness, says the Elia Rabba, that's another reason that it might be permitted. And then they add, really a sign of the times, especially if the chassan's an ani. Right? There was real tremendous poverty. Again, not that there isn't now, but there really was back in the day. So here you're giving them things that they can't necessarily otherwise afford. That's a genuine simcha. It's a kain, it's a tzedakah. So these are all different reasons why we could include this idea of giving the chassan gifts, according to these poskim, as a form of a mitzvah. Okay, so that's, yes, please.
Is it not enough to just say it's tzedakah?
Well, again, that wouldn't be true unless he was poor.
But
if it doesn't mean you can give money on Shabbos.
No, for sure not.
Okay, so.
No, because no, certain things are muktzah, but certain things which are not muktzah. So maybe if the only problem is, I think that's similar. This is, I think that's a similar question. Yeah. So that might be permitted under this guise. I think so. Okay. Now that's Aleph. More broadly, other posts given here, the Magen Avraham himself is one of those, as well as the Alter Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, also says, what about a different heter? Maybe we could come up with cases which are more closely similar to the original Gemaras, the one in Sukkah about the lulav, or in Beitza about the flower. What if we give gifts? Maybe they're permitted if they're L'Tzorech Shabbos. Just like in Sukkah and in Beitza, those gifts were L'Tzorech that Yomtif, they were going to be used. If you give a gift that will be L'Tzorech Shabbos. Now again, the gifts for the Chassan and Kala are things that they're going to need later in life, but we have maybe other Heterim for that. But let's say there's no Chassan, Stam, you're giving someone a gift. If it's for the needs of Shabbos, maybe that alone would be sufficient to be permitted. So therefore, the Shulchan Harav says, whether it's the Chassan or anyone else, if you give them things which they will use that day, it doesn't mean they'll have to use up. Let's say you give them dishes, and at lunch, the chassan eats at the offer of lunch. He uses those dishes. So then you gave them something that was l'tzorech Shabbos. You gave the ani, you know, a loaf of bread. He used that for his lecha mishnah at lunch. So there, leave aside any other extraneous considerations. They, Magen Avraham and Shulchan Aruch Harav, say that alone would be sufficient to permit the gift giving.
They decide what they use. Like,
So that might, exactly, it might be necessary for them to use it in order for there not to have been an Easter. Exactly.
Is it something they can use or they will use?
So it sounds like from a number of post-scheme that it has to be something that they actually use. It's a good question, but it seems like from, I was thinking about that just earlier today, that it has to be something that they will actually use. I'll skip ahead for a second to the bar mitzvah. We'll get to other heterim for the bar mitzvahs or other discussions, even for Newton, right? For Rabbi Samuels, he's the machmir.
No, Rabbi Siegel.
Rabbi Siegel. Oh, Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik Sonala. Yeah, they're machmir. Okay. Yeah, Rabbi Siegel is. He's also Newton. Just I got the neighborhood right.
We're the shul across the street from two shuls.
Okay, nice. Not
related to Rabbi
Siegel. My family has four shuls next to each other.
Yes, I was there not long ago. Okay. Anyway, so Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal is quoted on the bar mitzvah question, saying, you know what's mutter to give bar mitzvah boy gifts? It's mutter if you give him a sefer if he'll use it on Shabbos. So it's a good trick for the rabbi. He gives the gift to the bar mitzvah boy, and then you have to sit and learn. You have to come to the rabbi's office in half an hour before mincha and learn the sefer in order for it to be mutter. So apparently, Rav Yashiv was machaber about some of the other considerations, which we'll see momentarily. But if you really felt the need to give the bar mitzvah boy a gift, he felt it has to be something that could be and actually would be used on Shabbos. So these are all examples of things which would be in the same category, which we saw from the Mordechai, of letzorech mitzvah. The mitzvah could be letzorech, helping the chasan akala get on their feet, being mesameach them, or something that will be needed and used at Shabbos, that would be letzorech mitzvah, because Shabbos, of course, is a mitzvah in its own right. The Chasam Sofer, in his commentary, the Chasam Sofer is more famous as an author of a Shelos V'Tshuvos, a responsa, also Chidushim on Shas, lesser known Perush al HaTorah, and maybe least known, the Chasam Sofer has notes, Ha'aretz, on the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Chasam Sofer, not in the Tshuva, but in the side of the page of the Shulchan Aruch, discusses the following minhag. Again, I don't know the exact context, but it's a minhag that I like. Apparently, certain communities in certain circumstances, there was a minhag to give the rabbi a gift on Shabbos after the drasha. How do you like that?
Does this happen for like two drashas a year though?
Could be. That's also a gift to the rabbi. That's the gift, that's the zenene of a zenene. Anyway, I'm not exactly sure the context. Gotta go take a look at that again. But they asked the Chasam Sofer, what about giving the rabbi a gift because of his drasha? So again, you could insert all the rabbi jokes here, you know, shorter the drasha, bigger the gift, or, you know, anyway. But
there's bias here.
Huh?
There's bias in this question.
So says the Chasam Sofer, he thinks it is mutter. Woo! Why, what's his rationale in all seriousness? Kavod HaTorah, v'chibuv HaMitzvah. In other words, in all seriousness, when you supporting the rabbi, responding to his teaching of Torah in this altruistic way, is that's part of the Kavod HaTorah. Moreover, it shows a love of Talmud Torah, a love of the drasha, a love of teaching Torah. Plus, as we all know, not only does giving it reflect a love of Torah, but if you give gifts in response to that, it will also generate a love of Torah, right? It's like a boomerang. It not only reflects the feelings of chibuv, of respect that are already there, but it will also engender and strengthen feelings for the future. So says the Chasam Sofer, that is a mighty fine minug, which I suggest we resurrect. Yes.
Two things. What about like for youth groups when they give out prizes?
Mm.
Is that
something?
Excellent. I think that's relevant to everything we're going to be saying now. Okay, yes, excellent.
Second one is, how is inviting someone over for a meal and giving them your food like is that not considered a gift? Is that different?
Interesting. I don't know. I'm saying I could find five hidden for him, but I guess we would. I guess yeah. I don't. I never saw anyone discuss the shaila in that way. It's a very interesting way of looking at it, Matan. But the answer is it may very well be, and the answer may be l'tzarach hayom, l'tzarach mitzvah.
Oh, so fine. So like, if I bring like candy.
But I guess it's a good point.
Only
Again, it's just a surprising comment, but not that you're wrong. It's surprising because I don't know. I think when we host people, I'm sure your family have hosted people for a meal and stuff. I don't think the hosts view as they're bringing out the cholent, I'm giving you a gift of these potatoes. I don't think people think of it in that way. But I guess in honesty, it really is, right? I mean, what else is it?
There's no way you'll write a receipt that.
True, but again, once, you know, we probably would say lo pluk once we have gifts in general. But again, I think the answer is based on the things that we've just said.
Would it not be derech akhila and then just not considered any kind of kinyan?
I'm not sure. I never thought about it in the way that Matan asked it. I'd have to think about it a little bit more. That it's mutter is for sure, but exactly what heter I would need to use, I have to think about that a little bit more.
But like bringing candy on youth groups, like...
You have to use, again, so youth group, again, this letzorech mitzvah idea...
I'm saying dump the candy because they'll eat it right away.
Yes, so that, she's saying, is that better? Yeah. So that's better because that would have two heterim. Right. One is it's maybe encouraging them to learn and such. Number two is the fact that it'll be a tzarach, that's correct. I think that would be, I'm not necessarily voting on the candy versus the Rebbe cars or whatever else they're giving out in Lower Merion, but if you wanted to like add up kakulas or rationales to be lenient, so then I think that would be actually, would have two, so to speak, and not just one.
Are you in the Hassan Sofer saying rabbis are underappreciated and underpaid?
Well, maybe. Not in this room, though. I feel the love in this room. I don't see the money, but I feel the love. Okay. So, similar to Matan's point, comes along mid-20th century, the three-day Eish, Michael Yaakov Weinberg, great gadol from Germany, survived the Holocaust, eventually passed away decades after the Holocaust in Switzerland. The three-day Eish, he says, based on the Chasam Sofer, I can now come up with a new heter, Allah Matan, for the bar mitzvah gift. Why? Says the Shri Yesh, if you're allowed to give somebody a gift in response, you know, to the rabbi, to, you know, so to speak, in appreciation for their Torah, he thinks it's a hop and a skip, but he doesn't think it's too big of a jump to say you're also allowed to give the bachur habar mitzvah a gift to encourage, not only to, so to speak, pay homage to the past learning, but encourage future learning. It's not identical, I'm aware. But he says, that's also the tzorech mitzvah. That's also a chizakat Torah. That's also a kavarat Torah. The seidavka, you're coming of old mitzvos, you've given a nice drusha, you laned, whatever the case is, and we're going to, as a community, or for that matter, as just as a family, as a friend, or whatever, to give you a gift, to celebrate, and to be mechazik you, to encourage a person to do a mitzvah, he thinks that that would be permitted. And Rav Avadji Yosef in Chuvos Yechavadas Chela Gimel Simen Chaf Aleph paskins this way as well, at least as a possibility that you can give gifts to bar mitzvah boys if the purpose is to encourage their mitzvah performance. And I think, in all seriousness, I think that the standard kind of rabbi formula when they call, or the shul president formula when they call up the bar mitzvah boy to give them that gift at the bar mitzvah, you know, they talk about, you know, here's a chumash, or here's a kiddush cup, or whatever, right? They're not giving them, you know, tickets to the hockey game. They're giving them something of a mitzvah or Torah content, and usually encourage, you know, with a little speech, you know, you should use this for many years, and you should continue to give nachas to your family. So that's exactly what Rav Avadji Yosef, and that's exactly what the Chasam Sofer are talking about, that if you do something to encourage a mitzvah, then that would be encourage future learning, that would also be special. So we've seen a number of possible. There's a letzorech mitzvah, which can be respect of Torah, encouraging future Torah. We've seen about letzorech hayom, which helps us maybe with the guests. Now, what would you have to give if you were a host? Excuse me, if you were a guest, excuse me, you want to give a gift to your host. So what would you give in a way that would be letzorech hayom? Any food, exactly, food. 100%, exactly. So it's a question, again, I have to go back and double check. If somebody comes on Shabbos and gives you the wine on Shabbos day, so do you have to dafka use the wine that day? That's a good question. Or if you use wine instead of that, it's an interesting question. But certainly if you do, that in itself would be a basis of heter. Yes?
So our flour is also good because they'll put it on the table?
Yeah, I think that might be, again, It's probably preferable if you can to give them before Shabbos. You avoid the problem, but it seems that there are definitely some bases of heter. So let's wrap this up and see a few final things. So I mentioned previously the Chasam Sofer. We mentioned his son, the Ksav Sofer. Chasam Sofer also had a number of prominent Talmidim. One of the ones, not as well known perhaps, but a prominent Talmud, is somebody who wrote Tshuva Sefer called the Tshuvas Yehuda Ya'aleh. Tshuvas Yehuda Ya'aleh, or he's otherwise known as the Mahari Asad, or Chaim Simen Pei Gimel. And he has the following advice. He's also, at the end of the day, the Tzorech Mitzvah, the Tzorech Hayom, he's not loving any of that. So he says, I have a different suggestion. I have a different trick. Pull out of my bag of tricks that can help you in this situation. What should you do? If you get a gift on Shabbos, you can take possession of it, but have in mind not to be kona until after Shabbos. It's just a pikaron. Let's go back to Elulzman, Perak HaShoel. Right? No. Who said you're using it? Who said you're using it? According to this wouldn't help you then. No, you said you would. You put it off to the side. He suggests you put it off to the side and you say, now if it's something that will be consumed, so to speak, then he thinks that that would be the best solution. I saw more recently Rav Sternbach and his Tshuvas V'Hanhagos in Chelek Gimel. He doesn't love this so much, but he gives it a twist, which is not the minhag. The minhag is not like Rav Sternbach, but he has a chumrah. Maybe in Hanok they follow this. Maybe in Johannesburg they follow this when he was the Rav there. I don't know. But Rav Sternbach has a trick. He says if you get a gift like that, not only should you have in mind that you're not kona till after Shabbos, you should tell the person who gave you the gift, backsies until Motzei Shabbos. Now, even though you know they're not taking it back, when you hope. But the fact that you're saying that there's no hischaivas yet, that's the halachic term. Rav Sternbach is worried that even if you have this idea of the Mahari Asad, that I won't technically own it until after Havdalah, but if they've given it to you in a way that they can never change their mind, they've already been mitchaiv themselves to give you that, he thinks that might be a problem. So he suggests, just tell them, you know, I know you gave it to me, thank you, but I'm going to, for halachic reasons, I'm not going to really take ownership over it. It's going to be, you know, locked in safe. Which I'm not telling you the combination of. but I'm not taking ownership of it until after Shabbos. But you're not mischaib yourself, and if you change your mind, you know, I'll give it back. The minhag is not to do that. I've never heard of anyone actually doing that. Rav Sternbach suggests that. That's his chumrah. But we do have a heter, which is pretty widely known, of the Mahari Asad. He suggests it would help if you just have in mind not to be konit. I had to give someone this psak once in shul in Baltimore. There was a young woman, probably, I can't remember exactly how old she was. She might have been in high school or your age, but certainly around your age. She was a very devout girl. She used to come to shul very early on Shabbos morning in Davin. And one of the other women who was also there very early was much, much older than her, an older woman who, I'm not sure if it was just because of infirmity or because she was less learned, but this young girl used to help her, you know, find a page in the sitter and, you know, when they stand, they help the pages. Anyway, she was very nice to her, which was very nice. So one Shabbos, the older lady came in on Shabbos, and she had a gift of, if I remember correctly, I think it was a necklace for the young girl. She wanted to give her a gift in appreciation for help, and she gave it to her right then. And I think, you know, she wanted like her to put it on Shabbos. Now, wearing it is not a problem, you know, in the way Mordechai was worried about, because like nothing happens to wearing a necklace. But I don't remember exactly the details of how this happened, but I think she or her mother, somehow called me out of shul or something into the hallway, and they asked me, what should they do? Because they don't want to embarrass her and say, you know, we can't accept it or whatever. So I said to them, in that circumstance, just have in mind that you're not going to be kona until after Shabbos. You're allowed to use you can borrow something on Shabbos. That's not to say, you know, this type of thing. I thought the Mahari Asad might be a good solution. Now you could say that Letzorach, I don't know, looking beautiful on Shabbos, maybe that would be Letzorach Mitzvah. I don't know. I'm not sure how jewelry focused I am to think that that's a mitzvah to wear that necklace on Shabbos, but maybe. Anyway, that was one scenario where I once had to pull that out without much prior notice. But that's one of the suggestions that is used. And there are times, I know communities in which they tell the bar mitzvah boy, they tell the bar mitzvah boy, we're, you know, giving you this now, but you'll be koned after Shabbos. You watch my Kiddush cup, you know, for the next 6 hours until Motzei Shabbos when it'll become yours. That's one. Another possible suggestion. However, you know, it's a little bit clumsy. That's not always so practical. And the question is, really even necessary? So I mentioned Rav Avadji has a tshuva, and also Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Perk Kavtes also discusses this, and they do suggest this as a possibility that you should do this, but they have a different suggestion which might be better, and they suggest that you can give the gift to the person in a certain way before Shabbos, but unlike what they did in Cleveland, where they actually gave the gift to Coleman, right, and then they took it back and then more publicly gave it to you again on Shabbos. So I find that, you know, halachically it would work, but it's a little bit clumsy, you know, it's a little weird. I never did that I can tell. I never did that as a rabbi. But what I did do, whenever I would remember, is follow what Rav Avadja and the Shmir Shabbos suggest as the first suggestion, which is that we can do something called Sachen L'Adam Shlobafonav. So I would take the sitter, the chumash, whatever you were giving from the shul, and right before Shabbos, I tried to remember. Sometimes I would forget, and then only during like L'Chadodi remember, and I was like, oh man. But I would try, I'd go up to a man who's sitting in the front row of the shul right near me, and I'd say, do me a favor, lift this up and be mezake it to Shlomi Maishi, you know, the Bar Mitzvah boy tomorrow. That works. Halachically, Shlomi Maishi, the Bar Mitzvah boy, doesn't even know that he owns it yet, but he does.
He's coming at that point, or he's coming at
Yes. But so in the last minutes of Erev Shabbos, this third party is zoche it on behalf of, or mezake it for the Bar Mitzvah boy. So then, that's halachically, it's the same thing that Coleman's rabbi did. That meaning to say there's no kinyan happening on Shabbos. But I prefer it just on the human level, because then the boy actually feels like he's getting the gift then, as opposed to having gone through a charade because he knows he got the gift already on Erev Shabbos. But I could see why the rabbi would do what he did, but that was my, you know, my solution whenever I could remember, based on it seeming to be the preference of those poskim. I'll take your question one second. But last but not least, let's say I forgot. And I probably forgot 50% of the time. So I, unlike Rabbi Siegel, in the end, would be Mekel, though, on the Bar Mitzvah gift, based, if I didn't remember any of these other things, and I still never told the Bar Mitzvah boy, you don't own the Chumash until after Shabbos. I never did that, although you could do that. That would work, I guess. But what I used to, if I had forgotten to be Mezakeh to him before Shabbos, I used to just give the Bar Mitzvah boy the gift on the assumption that, like we saw from the Sri Yesh, a la the Chasam Sofer, giving a person a gift in the spirit and the kavanah of encouraging mitzvah observance, celebrating his entrance, and, you know, I don't want to start reprising all the bar mitzvah speeches you guys had to sit through when you were in seventh grade, but, you know, reprising, you know, but encouraging the bar mitzvah boy to give nachas to his children and to his family and to the community, and that he should live a life of Torah and mitzvos, and you're giving the gift, especially in the gift we used to give was, you know, chumash and something like that, you're giving it in that spirit. So I think that counts as l'tzorech mitzvah. And if you haven't done any of the other things, or you don't think that those are practical or more emotionally powerful, then I personally think for a bar mitzvah gift, for sure, you could rely on that. The Shabbos gifts, and you're invited out, so again, if you're a sleepover guest, so obviously you bring it before Shabbos. If you're invited over just for lunch, so then I would say better to give, you know, it's not so poshut, that's for sure, to show up on Shabbos for lunch with some, like, wrapped gift, which they're not going to be able to open, which is, you know, I don't know, some tchotchke that they're going to need, you know, that they're going to, you know, a picture frame or something for the house. That would be the hardest case to be matir. But if you give them something like a food or something which they can use on Shabbos, so then that would have that would have a basis. Yes?
Just for the necklace, didn't you say that borrowing is a problem?
It could be, yeah. Again, I thought in this case there were other, you know, bases, but again, on the spot, that was what I thought of to tell her. Was it necessary? Was it my solution? You know, again, generally speaking, that kind of thing, it's not so much borrowing. I guess that's almost, I take that back. Maybe I was not precise with what I said. The reason I think that would work is because you're really not so much a shoel, but a shomer.
And you're allowed to be a shomer?
I mean, that seems to be what the Ma'ariv Asad is saying. You get something on Shabbos, have in mind not to be konit until after Shabbos. That, you know, that's not my answer, that's his. Huh? Again, a kinyan for what? For this, I'm saying you're still something. In other words, so let's say you're not mato, but it's not yours. When we're learning Bam Metzia, we want to know what's the kinyan to make the shomer or the shoel chayiv and things. Here, that's not relevant. We just want that the person who gave you the gift gave the gift. They don't want to be embarrassed. You don't want to make them feel bad. and you don't want to have to, you know, give it back or whatever. So you have in mind that I'm not konit. What's your status between now and Motzei Shabbos? Probably some form of a shomer, you know, either in quotes or not. But the main thing is you didn't have in mind that you were going to make a kinyan. And again, the post can assume that if you have intentional kavana not to be konit, and the kinyan cannot fall, you know, chal against your will. Yes, Moshe. Thanks for being patient.
Is there an issue with zachin ladam shalofana doing it yourself?
You need a third party. Yeah. If I'm the one giving it, then I can't also be the one to be mazakit. So I'm giving it on behalf of the shul. It didn't have to be me. If someone else, if the president came to me and said, "Rabbi, will you be mazakit?" I could have done that. But if I'm the one who has it, so then I'm the one who's giving it to him. I can't be the one. You need the third party.
Be
we discussed there is an issue of
before Shabbat, mafkir it and then be the okay.
On his behalf. Maybe it's a little bit more of a legal fiction than, you know, giving to the third party, but maybe it would have worked. Maybe. Okay, everyone, be well. Yisher koyach.